This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Time for the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Greetings, cretins.
Cretins, cretins, indeed. Well, back in the studio for another fine episode of Brew Strong.
At least we hope so.
We pretty much
given the excellent questions people are sending in, I'd say it's a sure bet.
It depends if the gremlins in the computer will allow us to have a show.
Yeah, or maybe it'll get torpedoed like the last one. We'll see.
Torpedoed in the can. Is that what you're having, John?
No, actually, I'm having some Firestone Walker's Reserve right now.
In the can?
No, in the Stein. Stein. Stein.
Yeah. Well, and I just got back recently from a trip to Boise.
Boise.
Miraculous, wonderful Boise.
It was actually, what were you doing there?
It was a great trip. Went around just hanging with the distributor and going to accounts and stuff and a couple events. Met up with some listeners and all that. It was really cool.
Well, it would be.
Had a good time. It's a really nice town. The flight in was horrible. Mm. Like a storm the entire way, and I was in one of those prop planes, and just shook the daylights out of me on the way there. Mm. Made me miserable, man.
It's my worst nightmare. I'm your worst nightmare.
It was. Did they like your beer once you were there?
Yes.
Probably not.
Yes, we're slamming it in Boise.
Okay.
Actually, slamming it. Yeah. So it was kind of cool. I had a good time.
How many people did you get drunk?
Don't know. A bunch. That's all I know. It was a bunch. But, yeah, it was really very cool. And a number of those people are going to be at CBC. So I told them to come on by down to the events down there and that we're going to do some shows from White Labs on that Wednesday night, the 1st of May. Should be a lot of fun. Awesome. People come down and say hi. We're going to do a Brew Strong from there, and should be very cool.
That'll be a great time. I'm looking forward to it. I talked to quite a few brewers in Minneapolis last weekend that will be down there, too.
Mm-hmm. So. Sweet.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That should be a lot of fun. And speaking of a lot of fun.
And awesome.
Is our good friend. Mr. John Blickman.
Woohoo! Sorry, yeah. John. Yeah. Didn't come out the way I intended. It was woohoo. Yeah.
Yeah. You make it a little more manly. No, John's a great guy with a good sense of humor. So
he is.
I'm sure he enjoys that. You know, one thing that he's very serious about is excellence in the products that they make. You know, they spend a lot of brain power and a lot of testing and a lot of customer feedback on making new innovative products for your home brewing. And it's very cool. They also make some small scale, like nano brewing equipment as well. So if you're interested in opening that nano brew starting your professional career, they make stuff that's good for that as well. You can check it out. You go to BlickmanEngineering.com, Blickman with two N's. Go check it out, and lots of interesting gear on there, and you can email them and ask them about their nano equipment and what it would take to get you started in your own professional brewing dream. So, very cool. And they've been a sponsor for a long time. I think they enjoy the people who listen to the show. I think highly of them, and it shows in the products that they build.
And they love coming to NHC each year, chatting with the brewers there.
Yep.
They'll do a demonstration on, you know, some brewing demonstration on their equipment. They'll roll out some new products they may be coming out with. And, I mean, for them, it's, well, as for the rest of us, it's, you know, it's a lot of fun. They really enjoy brewing, and they enjoy talking to the brewers. So be sure you say hi when you see them.
Yeah, very cool. We're glad to have them as a sponsor. All right, so the show is going to be a live Q&A show. And what that means is we're live in the studio, like always, but you can actually ask questions of us while we're doing the show. So you go to thebrewingnetwork.com, click on that chat now, and that's an interactive chat where JP's moderator, and you can private message him some questions that you want to have asked on the show. Or you can always get your questions into the show the old-fashioned way, email. Bruce Strong at brewingnetwork.com. Just email your questions. Title them with Q&A. That helps us identify which ones are just a brief question, and we'll get that on the air. All right. First question.
Question from the chat. I brewed an American wheat beer that consisted of 50% two-row, 50% white wheat. Finished at 10.09, tastes great, but has the worst head retention I've ever had. It's currently kegged, so could it help if I add any maltodextrin syrup to improve this?
No, that really won't help the head retention. Did he give any other brewing info on that beer?
Mashed at 152 for an hour. But
I think you should come out with your own line of enzymes, John. You can make head retention A's and sell that to people.
Yeah, that's probably possible.
Yeah.
I know they have other head retention stuff on the market.
Right. Stuff that improve the head retention. Mm. We'd really have to look into... So that wouldn't fix it. We'd have to look into why that beer has no head retention.
Because it should.
Yeah.
Could be, you know, could be soap wasn't rinsed out of the carboy or a variety of reasons.
Right. Could be... you know, yeast issue, or, you know, leaving the beer on the yeast for a long time and barf up some stuff, or, mm-hmm. you know, the old dirty glass thing and so many other things. Just hard to say. You know, hopping, highly hopping a beer helps. I wonder if you could add a lot of hop extract to that.
Well, that's true.
Get something going.
The pre-isomerized extract would help the head retention a lot. If you didn't, you know, at the expense of overly bittering the beer, but that is one addition that will greatly improve your head retention is the pre-isomerized hop extract that, you know, normally you'd use in a double IPA or something like that.
Right. There you go. There's your answer.
Sounds great.
Okay.
What was it?
I thought so.
I wasn't listening. I was folding my bandana.
You're becoming more and more like Justin all the time.
I don't feel good.
not paying attention to the show.
I'm very...
grooming yourself in the mirror.
Very sweaty, and my head's about to explode.
Picking at your pubic area.
Well, I do that. Yeah, that's true. I do that. This is questions from Stu, also in the chat. The Mr. Malty yeast calculator tells you how much starter you need when your yeast source is liquid yeast or slurry, but not for dry yeast. Is there some reason to avoid using a starter to grow up a larger colony from a dry yeast?
Yes. Oh, you want an elaboration? Oh, hey, you want an elaboration?
I don't want anything. I wanted your car, but...
Yeah, generally speaking, dry yeast, you know, it's cheap enough that, you know, making a starter to grow it costs you almost as much as the dry yeast. So a lot of times you're better off. And people that are a lot of times using dry yeast, they don't have the ability to, you know, properly make a starter or things like that. So, you know, tends to be more of an easy use item. But yeah, you could make a starter and grow it up. Nothing's stopping you from it. It's just generally just cheaper to and easier to buy more dry yeast.
So you weren't implying that they were mentally deficient and not capable of making a yeast starter.
No. Well, but sometimes people are. But generally, a lot of people who start with brewing start with dry yeast, and so you know, they're not into doing starters and things like that, or you know, and people that get into starters tend to gravitate toward liquid yeast, anyways. You know, there's a whole thing about, you know, the dry yeast; they've got, you know, a lot of their nutrition in them already. If you're just going to make a small starter trying to activate them or something, that doesn't work well. But you could, you know, you could go ahead and grow dry the yeast that's rehydrated and grow it. Make more yeast. Nothing's stopping you.
All right. We need a signal. So I know when you guys are done talking. Yeah. Because the 8 seconds of silence isn't cutting it.
My mouth closes.
Yeah, but you know, you close and you think about it and then you start talking again. No, I just want to make, you know, the pregnant pause. Another question from the chat, or should we take a break? You tell me, baby.
Let's take a short break. And when we come
back, take a short break.
Things might be better after this.
When you hear Blickman Engineering, think innovation, passion, quality, and customer service. Blickman Gear is designed by brewers to give you a sense of pride in your equipment. At Blickman, they know what makes brewing a pain and build gear that makes it fun. Like the intuitive beer gun, a completely different approach to filling bottles. The Therminator wort chiller, a new take on a plate chiller that's sized for flow, performance, and the high groundwater temps homebrewers face every day. The Brewmometer, a brilliant weldless thermometer design with brewing parameters right on the dial. The Auto Sparge, ultimate simplicity for preventing an overflow or running your mash tun dry. And much more, like the modular top-tier brewing stand, conical fermenters, and their Boilermaker brew pots. With more cutting-edge equipment coming soon, keep up with the latest from Blickman at BlickmanEngineering.com and stay on the cutting edge.
BN Army, HopTech has a great discount waiting for you. Do you often find it difficult to find specific specialty ingredients for your homebrew recipes? Well, listen to this. HopTech stocks 59 different grains to choose from, 39 varieties of pellet hops, and 8 kinds of whole leaf hops. And HopTech not only carries Y yeast and White Labs yeast for you, but also Fermentus, 04, 5, 6, 23, 33, and T58 Belgian yeast, plus Cooper's, Nottingham, and Windsor yeasts. Got your recipe ready to go? Pick up some great brew gear like new long and short sleeved shirts, games, and more. HopTech's new website is being updated every day with new items. If you don't see it, call the shop. They're open 6 days a week. BN Army and AHA members get a 10% discount, and active military personnel get 15% off. Visit HopTech.com today for great selection, great service, and a great discount. HopTech.com.
A heretic is anyone who does not conform to an established attitude, doctrine, or principle.
If you love craft beer, you're already a heretic. the very first thing we did when we started looking at the beers that we would brew, we got rid of all those recipes. We started from scratch. We've been pilot brewing the most creative things that we could think of and the most interesting things. We've completely gone away from style.
Heretic Brewing Company is opening this spring in Pittsburgh, California, and you can be a part of it. Visit hereticbrewing.com and facebook.com/hereticbrew. Get the latest updates on the brewery and upcoming beers. Show everyone how you celebrate great beer as a heretic.
It's a fairly powerful word. Being a heretic, that means you're not settling for ordinary beer. You are going with flavorful, creative, bold, interesting beers. A heretic is looking for the best beers out there.
Be a heretic. Don't drink ordinary beer.
Hi, this is Push from the Brewing Network, and I want to tell you about the Brewmaster's Warehouse and how you can get 10% off your next order. I'm a pretty techie guy, but I've never seen an online store like this. It's awesome. Go to brewmasterswarehouse.com and click on Brew Builder. You can whip up a custom recipe so easily even Sven could do it. Seriously, it's slick. You can share your recipe with your own logo and notes to the Brewmaster's database if you want. And the best part, it keeps a running tally of the beer you're building while you're doing it. Then, bam, click Buy Recipe and your cart is filled and ready to go with helpful suggestions in case you forgot something. This thing is amazing. Brewmaster's Warehouse is run the way a home brewer would do it, with great service, fast turnaround, and $6.99 flat rate shipping. Brewmaster's Warehouse and the Brew Builder blew me away. Check it out today at brewmasterswarehouse.com. I'm serious. And don't forget to put BNARMY in the discount code box for 10% off your order. Check out brewmasterswarehouse.com. Cheers.
Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of The Buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Back to the two guys that know how to turn beer into beer. This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. Another day in paradise.
What's up?
Soon our paradise will be moving.
Yeah, awesome news of that.
Yeah. Pretty excited. We were looking at some spaces today, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Looking good.
Is it live-in spaces?
No live-in spaces, no. Straight up retail, son.
Okay.
Yep, right in downtown, corridors, and, you know, lots of people, and room, and AC, and...
And this place, let's not get ahead of yourselves room. There. I mean, geez.
This place will be turned into a crack house, I believe. Crack house? Yes.
It'll turn back into a crack house.
Back into a crack house, that's right. Yeah, the prior use.
It was funny, one of the spaces we were looking at used to be a grow house.
Oh, that's appropriate.
Which kind of fits.
You wouldn't have to stink it up yourselves.
Well, we might still use it. We'll never know.
Right. There you go.
So it's a lot larger of a space. But it should be cool either way, man. We're gonna have a green room. And you know,
a grow house that would have a whole another
growing your own hops, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Dan Gordon, you know, before you come on, would you do me a favor and just trim this half a plant, please? You know, just give me a pound.
Anyway. Yes, the green room. All right, let's see. Back to our questions.
Back to your questions. Back to our questions. This is from our ever-present, ever-popular Sex Panther in the chat as well. I don't know why I said that last part. Is there a particular compound in an oatmeal stout that would be described as a permanent marker? A BGCP judge commented on it in the aroma section along with light earthy notes. Could this be yeast derived? I think it's, in my opinion, it's, right. it's malt, black malt. It's like the roasted malt.
Right. Well, all right. So when you highly kiln malt, it produces phenolic compounds. I would imagine that permanent marker to me is kind of like a combination of phenolic and solventy. I mean, yeah. It could be like a, you know, a solventy compound from fermentation, hot fermentation, too much oxygen, too little oxygen, too little yeast, improper nutrients, things like that. And maybe that combined with, you know, some of those phenols from the highly kiln malts would result in something like that.
Mm.
But, you know... You know, regardless of how it comes, you know, if you get one judge that says something and no other judge says it, you don't detect it, then it may or may not be there, really.
Uh-huh.
Not that the judge was wrong, because, you know, as an individual, if you taste something or smell something, then you did. Nobody can tell you didn't. You did. It's just whether enough people actually detect that. If nobody else detects it, then it's, you know, your detection of it is statistically unimportant. So,
okay.
You know, you got to kind of look at it that way. So if you get a lot of people saying, yeah, there's, you know, solventy or, you know, paint thinner or, you know, plasticky, or if you get a lot of those, then I'd start to worry about it. All right.
What do you think, Palmer?
I agree with Jamil. The judge, yeah, as Jamil says, the judge is not wrong. I mean, that is what he detected. Likewise, you know, that's maybe he's particularly sensitive to that sort of aroma.
Or she.
She, yes, exactly. So I find I'm very sensitive to sulfur. And, you know, other judges like, no, I just get, you know, a normal malt smell. I take another whiff and it's like, oh, yeah, I guess that is Pilsner malt kind of aroma. Where, you know, as opposed to an excess sulfury aroma. So, you know, every judge has his, you know, strengths and weaknesses. So
I find I'm very sensitive to my nipples being pinched.
Yes. Being pitched?
I've never noticed that.
He's pitching your nipple.
Pinched.
Oh.
Yes.
Sounds like
John
pitched.
Said he was sensitive to sulfur. Yeah. I'm just sharing what I'm sensitive to.
Is it my turn to share?
You're yeah, sensitive to kittens, JP, remember?
Share us a question.
It's kind of a long one. It's from Gavin.
All right, Gavin. Get to the point already.
There's a whole page. You don't need all
Gavin.
This information. But I'm going to read it all because I like to fill time. Despite all your great information... I have encountered two batches with a stuck gravity of 1020. Both beers were a starting gravity around 1054, and I was shooting for a final gravity of 1012. Use a starter for each batch per the information, yada yada. The issue, I suspect, has been that the temperature had dropped below 65 degrees for a day or two during the ferment. In order to get the fermentation going, I've tried the following steps.
Coughing into your arm.
Uh-huh. Coughing into your arm. Didn't work. I have... tried rehydrating some yeast and pitching on top with no results. Uh-huh. I have raised the temperature and maintained it at 72 degrees. I have stirred up the yeast cake to re-suspend the yeast, uh-huh. Waited a few weeks, stared at it very hard.
Hmm.
None of these things work.
Hmm.
Lastly, I pitched some yeast into a 1025 gravity starter, waited 16 hours while aerating the starter, decanted, and then pitched. Over the last week, the airlock has been bubbling at a slow rate, which tricked me into thinking something was happening, only to measure it and see there was no change in gravity. Do you have a recommendation on how to unstick one's fermentation, or should I just quit pretending like I know how to brew? P.S. I just listened to a podcast where you talked about Budweiser brewing a higher gravity beer and then adjusting it to the desired level. Is this an approach worth trying?
Hmm.
Well, it's something that didn't start higher. You know, just because it didn't finish enough. I mean, you know, if it you know, started, if you brewed it much higher, like, you know, and it attenuated an appropriate amount, and then you thin it out with water, that's fine. But the problem is if it truly isn't attained.
54 to 20 is not.
Right. But, you know, we don't know how he's preparing this wort. I mean, we don't know if it's, you know, he's using some unfermentable extract or he's using a seriously high mash temperature or something like that and a lot of specialty malts.
Right.
You know, it could be all you're going to get. It could be, you know, he's using a low attenuating British ale yeast or something like that. That's not going to attenuate that much. So it just depends. You know, just because a recipe says you're going to finish it, you know, 10, 12. Unless it's something like brewing classic styles.
Yeah, the same thing.
then, you know, it may or may not be the case. It depends on all those other factors. If you want to get something to attenuate down, I mean, you could throw like Beano in there and it'll probably, you know, probably start ripping away. And it just means you have a lot of, you know, long chain dextrins in there. And so hard to say for sure.
Yeah, I suppose throwing, you know, if he'd wanted to sacrifice the batch or, you know, put in or right. draw off a quart of it and try the Beano method and it took off, that would tell him that it's a dextrin problem or fermentability problem.
Because if you throw in, you know, the thing is, you can't throw in just yeast. You need, once there's alcohol in there and carbon dioxide and the pH has dropped and all that, and the sugars are low, you need to only put in active yeast. So if you're going to try and get something started, you need to not just make a starter, decant off, you know, let the yeast settle out, and then throw it in. What you do is you get, you know, a fresh pitch of yeast, you put it in with a little bit of starter wort, get it to high croissant, and then dump it all in while it's at high croissant. That's the only way that it'll continue fermenting. You know, otherwise there's just nothing to interest them. The other thing to try is like lager yeast because it'll ferment some of the longer sugars that the ale yeasts won't. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at this point in fermentation, you know, not a big deal. The other thing to do is just to taste it and see how it tastes. If it tastes sweet, really sweet, then, you know, maybe there's an issue. But if it tastes fine, then it's fine. Just go ahead and carbonate and drink it. That'd be my take on it.
Yeah, good point.
Okay. Perfection. This is one from John, and it has three questions. So before we get to the John's three questions, one question per email, please, everybody. It is not fair to everybody else if we have to go through three questions because you couldn't be bothered to hit send and then write a new email twice. But so I'm only going to pick one of these right now. Maybe we'll answer the other ones on another show. What do you guys think of that?
Oh, you know, great. That's never going to happen.
Perfect. Well, yeah, right. Okay, so this is question number one from John. I've been brewing for real a couple years now. Most of the process is relatively cut and dry, with the exception of mashing and also flame out. Personally, I've been winging it from the time I turn off the propane to the time the wort goes through my heat exchanger. A friend of mine showed me how he whirlpooled in a kegel, which is what I'm using for a kettle. I have no screen in the concave bottom and use nylon bags for hops. How long from flame out to whirlpool? How long after? Wow, he has like eight questions within question one. How long should it be, I guess, from flame out to whirlpool? How long after the whirlpool before you run the wort through the heat exchanger? How do you actually whirlpool, like with a mash paddle or whatever? Is some amount of Trub good for the yeast during fermentation?
Yes.
This is the worst question in the world, John. Sorry, buddy, but...
Yeah,
That's why it's so hard. If you stack these questions like that, it's impossible to answer.
Maybe do a whirlpool show is what that tells me.
Yes.
But yeah, just generally, you turn off the flame, you get the wort whirlpooling immediately, and then... After,
by stirring with the mash paddle or a spoon.
Right, or pumping it or whatever. And after you've... got it, you know.
In a vortex,
and you let it go, you know, it takes 15, 20 minutes for the particles to move to the middle. And then you stop the whirlpool, or, you know, let the whirlpool stop by itself, and then give it 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes for everything to settle to the bottom. And then you go ahead and run it out into your heat exchanger. that's pretty much it. And, you know, people, oh, you know, cold break is good for the yeast and fermentation. And, you know, there's so much cold break already in there that you can't see. If, you know, if you're adding stuff that you can see, you know, it's not even really needed. There's plenty of break material in there. I don't think you really want to carry a whole lot over.
It's like that second Big Mac. You don't need
right.
it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
There you go. You'll eat it, but...
Really. Yeah, exactly. So I would, you know, I try and leave that break material behind. I think it's actually more important in a lager and less important in a highly flavored ale. But you know, some people don't. They don't care. They just transfer the whole thing and just go with it that way. Meh. There you go.
Sounds good to me.
If you can ask my opinion, you can get my opinion. That's all I can say.
Yep, but I think you're kind of right. We may want to do a Whirlpool show and kind of, because that's got to be one of our top 10 questions that we get when we're out at events is about Whirlpooling or when to add hops to the Whirlpool, all these kind of things.
Why are you so handsome?
That one comes up.
I get that a lot.
How is it? How come it's so big?
Like a lot. I get that a lot.
Yes. Why is John so handsome?
Why am I so handsome?
Oh. Now that I wouldn't imagine.
You know, I got the weirdest backhanded third person compliment the other day. Warren's wife, Beardy, uh-huh. our good heretic brewer.
Her name's not Beardy.
No, her name is Candy.
Yes.
Maybe he doesn't want me to say that. Apparently she had told Warren that I'm attractive to trolls. I'm good looking for a guy in the beer industry. I kind of don't know how to take that.
Well, I'm in the beer industry, JP. So,
yeah. Well, are you attractive for a guy in the... Oh, I guess
apparently
you're my baseline.
She's never seen me. I've never seen John. So
if she had, would I be less attractive for a guy in the beer industry? Or would I just be one of another guy in the beer industry?
Well, there you go. That's true.
I think, JP, you should firmly believe that this means that you're better looking than Jamil and I.
Oh. Well, I don't know about that. When we get together, it's like the triforce of handsome. It's just...
That's true.
Three amigos.
We're just too sexy.
That's right.
It's too sexy.
Tell you what we're not too sexy for. A break.
All right.
Like let's take a segue?
Short... it's great. Let's take a short break and we'll do more after this.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Hell or High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in the can.
Tasty Crack Cans.
Tasty Crack Can.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zanishev, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, Cretans. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zanishev. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Hi, this is John from Grain & Grape. We've been supplying brewers in Australia for 21 years, and for all that time we've been working to offer the best service around, including free fortnightly all-grain brewing demos, 90 varieties of malted grain from Belgium, Germany, the US, Britain and Australia, equipment from browmasters, kegerators and crown urns to the humble brew in a bag, heaps of hops, wire yeast liquid and fermenters and Danstar dried yeast cultures, fresh work kits made at Mountain Goat Brewery and on the 200 litre browmaster right here in the warehouse. We also sponsor and support brewing clubs and comps, the Australian National Home Brewing Conference, Aussie Home Brewer Forum and heaps more. Mostly though, 100 years of brewing experience means that we can give you the best advice on your next recipe, your new system, or that brewing problem that needs a solution. Mention the Brewing Network next time you order online or by phone for freight free on your next order. Check out grainandgrape.com.au for conditions.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of our 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Our Williams Belgian Pale Extract is mashed with pure Belgian two-row malt and a small percentage of Belgian wheat malt for an authentic Belgian character you just can't get from other extracts. Or check out our unique fermenters, 2.5-gallon kegs, paintball tank-based draft beer equipment, bottling aids, and much more. We even have our own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse our vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 3:30 p.m. Pacific time ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
Back to your hosts, Jamil Zainasheff and John Palmer. Putting the testicles in technical. This is Brew Strong.
Oh, yeah. We're back.
So, how are those technicals?
My technicals? I tell you, my technicals were much better after I went to adamandeve.com.
Ah.
You didn't like that one?
Well, I don't know. I kind of loved it.
You love my technicals?
I do.
At AdamandEve.com. I'll tell you what you're going to love at AdamandEve.com.
Me?
You want to spice things up in the bedroom? You fantasize about surprising your lover with a new toy or adult movie? Well, here's a great offer for you. Go to AdamandEve.com. For a limited time only, you're going to get 50% off just about any item in the store. And they have thousands and thousands of items. Select your one item at 50% off. You're going to get 3 free adult DVDs. You get a free extra gift for some sensual pleasure. And to top it off.
Get distracted there, Jamil.
It's quite sensual. To top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. So check out adamandeve.com today. You use the offer code Jamil, J-A-M-I-L. That's right. My name's an offer code on AdamandEve.com.
Yeah, I believe you were trying to impress a woman with that tidbit of information.
Yeah, my wife. Check me here.
Did
check
it work?
Me, dear. I've got. She was mildly pleased. And if I got some stuff at AdamandEve.com, she'd be far more pleased. Yeah. So
I didn't want to say it.
So get your item off at 50% off. Using
the
offer code. Yeah, get off at 50%. For one item, using J-A-M-I-L, and you get 3 free DVDs, free extra gift, and free shipping. It's a great deal. You know, if you have any need for the items that they sell, you can hardly go wrong. So
true.
Check it out. It's really quite the value. So use offer code J-A-M-I-L at AdamandEve.com today.
Also, follow them on Twitter. They have a rather interesting Twitter feed. Some of it's not exactly safe for work, but, you know.
Well, where you work,
it's
I can't
fine.
Imagine that there's anything that's not safe.
Right. Yeah. Good people.
Although Mike crowd out his Hello Kitty feed.
Are you into Hello Kitty, JB?
No, I'm not a big Sanrio fan. No, not really. I mean, you know, it's cute and all that, but, you know, I could do without it in my life.
As you've gotten older.
now that I've gotten older.
Yeah.
Right. Although I will say I worked at the Martinez Beer Fest a little bit ago, and I just happened to be in the booth, and someone was like, "Here, I found this card." It was a credit card. It was a Hello Kitty credit card. And my initial reaction was, I would totally have a Hello Kitty credit card. And then I realized that that's not necessarily their target age range. Right. You know, you can get a Hello Kitty email address.
Oh, yeah.
It's like one of those domains that's totally open. So you just go to the Hello Kitty website and you sign up for an email address. It could be jamil@hellokitty.com.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to get one.
Yeah, see, I'd have a credit card with like boobs on it or something.
Yeah, probably.
In 3D. It'd
probably be orange boobs.
Justin, JP, and Jamil.
Right. Three boobs on it. All three of our pictures on there.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, I saw that movie. Did you happen to see that movie?
No.
That was a good one, Palmer.
It was funny.
Did you like that movie?
I did. I mean, the theater was three-quarters kids and the other, you know, rest parents.
Yeah.
And I swear the parents were laughing louder.
You know? Mean, they look like the Three Stooges, but I've never been a Three Stooges guy, you know, and I realize that a lot of people think
you're starting to look like Curly Joe here.
If you're a guy, you have to be into cars and the Three Stooges, and I never got into
cats.
I'm totally into cats.
Yeah, well, there you go.
And the Three Musketeers. No, I just never got into them. Yeah. Did see the Hunger Games though. That was a horrible movie.
And now, do you watch a lot of Sex in the City, stuff like that?
No.
All right. Well,
anyway.
So it's just a confusion there.
Look, Palmer, you and I will talk movies later. Apparently, Jamil wants to derail this and talk about krausening like I have one from Sparge Pervert, who has like 8 questions.
I'll tell you, we'll go a little long on this show here.
Why would we
want to make
that?
make up for our wasted time? Go ahead.
Forget that. We're going to end right now. Hey guys, We're going to finish right now. Love listening to the show. I've got loads of great advice, which has helped me improve my brewing so much. I'm interested to know a bit more about krausening, having read a bit about it online. I've had a look through the archives and don't think you've done a show on it. I was basically wondering if there are any advantages of using krausening to bottle condition over the usual sugar DME approach that most homebrewers use. Also, if I want to krausen, is there an easy way of knowing how much newly fermenting wort of a specific gravity to use in order to get the right amount of carbonation?
Yeah, the advantage is the yeast are active and live and already fermenting when you throw it in there, and so, you know, you get more sure carbonation if, you know, your yeast is questionable in the beer currently.
And a little antioxidation boost.
Right, from the active fermentation there. John, how would you calculate? I know I've seen calculations for the amount of krausen to be added.
Yeah, I don't have an equation off the top of my head. I would Google search for, there's probably krausening calculators out there.
Does Kai have one on his site? I thought maybe I saw something there. I thought he did some stuff with krausening.
You know, he might. Yeah.
That's a very German technique, so
yeah. That's right.
Maybe he might have something.
I mean, advantages, yeah, but like the antioxidant thing, and if you're the kind of guy that is interested in, you know, the German beer purity law kind of thing, and that's, you know, fun for you to try to replicate, you know, that kind of technique, go for it. But I mean, otherwise, I think it's a small benefit. And, you know, if it's fun for you, do it. But otherwise, I don't think there's enough benefit in krausening to warrant using it on a regular basis. You know, but on the other hand, Jamil and I have recommended krausening in a few cases to, say, fix stuck fermentations or, you know, other uses for it. But as far as just for general carbonating, I think it's easier to just use prime and sugar.
Yeah. I would agree with that. All right. Next question.
Next question is from the chat. It's our good buddy Afterlab. Says, a forum member has asked this question, didn't get any response. He roughly added 3 times as much yeast nutrient as suggested, imagine, to a starter. Are there any adverse effects to expect from this? I couldn't find the specific topic covered in the yeast book. I'm assuming the yeast take what they need and leave the rest of the nutrients, but I wasn't sure.
Well, it depends on what's in it, but you can it can become toxic to the yeast. You can jack them dudes up.
Oh,
so it's like anything. If you pour enough like zinc, yeast are usually deficient in zinc, or the wort's deficient in zinc, and the it's a cofactor in a lot of things and membrane health and all that stuff. So you want to add zinc. If you add enough zinc, it would just kill the yeast. I mean, outright kill them. So you just have to be careful of that. Three times what's recommended. I bet you it's fine. I think you're not getting any use out of it, but I don't think it's going to hurt anything. Hurt your pocketbook more than anything. All right.
Okay, sounds good. Here's one about malting and gluten-free brewing. This is from Sam. He says, just a quick question. My girlfriend actually brought up when I was drying home malted gluten-free grains for my last batch. I've been using her oven for about 2 days trying to get my malt to dry at the right temps. When she asked, if you're going to add water right back to it, what's the point of getting it all dry? I covered my ass explaining about how roasted, toasted malts have different characteristics depending on time, temp, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. But do I gain anything by drying and kilning my base malts, such as flavor, aroma compounds, or overall protein stability, if I'm just going to be tossing it straight into my mash tun and I'm only looking to get something like base 2-row as a final result? He says, just to clarify, I'm just referring to grains in a homebrew setting that could go from spouting vessel to mash tun in a few seconds. Obviously, there would be storage issues with wet grain. I know the Sunday Session did a show about gluten-free somewhat, and maybe I missed it, but it seems like an overall home malting and gluten-free brewing topics are blah, 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 blah. So,
yeah, you really need to develop some of the flavors, I think. pardon
the,
me. You can,
the killing generates, yeah.
Yeah. Killing is an important part of malt flavor development. So, not kilning at all, I think, maybe a little insipid. Mm-hmm. And so that might be an issue. So I would think they taste different. Yeah, try. Next time, half a batch. You might try even kilning a little warmer. See if you can get away with that. And I don't know.
Yeah, generate some pale malt type flavors.
Yeah.
Fine. This is an email that has two questions, so I'm picking one. This is from Kyle. He says, what up, my networks? The yeast pitching rate calculator often suggests... Yeah, you're getting kind of dinged on that today. Aren't you? Not dinged, but there's a lot of questions revolving around that.
I get like millions of hits on that thing.
The yeast pitching rate calculator often suggests a 1.5 liter starter or greater based on my usual inputs. The yeast book from Homeboy and Dog Meat suggests not only pitching a starter that is greater than 5% of the wort volume. It suggests not pitching a starter that is greater than 5% of the wort volume. I also understand that it's best to pitch the starter at high krausen. Is it better to pitch a big starter at high krausen, or should I wait until the starter finishes, decant the beer, and then just pitch the remaining yeast? Thanks to keep up the good work. Looking forward to reading all about water while tasting a heretic beer over in North Carolina.
Right. Again, if the starter volume is going to be more than 5% of the beer, so like a liter in a 20-liter batch, or kind of a liter, a quart in a 5-gallon batch, then it's too much, and it's better to chill it, let the yeast settle out, decant it, and just pitch the yeast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One aspect of his question was, better to pitch at high krausen or after it's settled. And I guess, would you agree, Jamil, that, best at high krausen and then 95% as good as pitching after it has had a chance to settle, build up its glycogen reserves, and you've been able to decant the yeast?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a huge best difference.
Well, and then I think the thing that kind of evens them out even further is, you're putting all this, spent starter wort into your beer, and that's got to have a flavor impact too. So maybe the two are kind of equal based off of that.
That's true.
So, I always tended towards really just letting the yeast settle out and then pitching just the yeast. And then, you know, sometimes I would, you know, take a little bit of wort the morning of and add that back and get them going again and then pitch that in. But I'd use a much smaller volume. So, you know, I don't know. I think it's pretty, you know, equal on both.
Okay.
All right. Let's take a short break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up with more of your questions after this.
When Blickman Engineering set out to design a great brewing stand, they knew it had to be strong, adaptable, and last for a lifetime. The top-tier brewing stand is now proudly available at BlickmanEngineering.com. It grows with your brewing skills and equipment. Start with 5-gallon coolers on its heavy-gauge stainless steel shelves. Then move all the way up to 30-gallon pots on the high-output burner tiers. Speaking of burners, the custom Blickman Engineering top-tier burners are extremely powerful, efficient, and amazingly quiet. They have safety stops to center your pot, and they'll last a lifetime and won't rust. The top-tier brewing stand allows virtually infinite combinations from traditional gravity systems to two tiers to completely horizontal. Configure your stand the way you want and have the freedom to change it at any time in the future. Your brewing stand should adapt with you, not force you to learn a new process. Visit BlickmanEngineering.com today to configure your top-tier brewing stand and to find a local Blickman retailer. You'll be surprised with all the flexible features and the competitive price. Start brewing with Blickman from the top tier.
Hey Jack, what you doing? Playing Warcraft?
No way, it's TBG time, buddy.
TBG?
Get with it. I'm playing that brewery game.
What brewery game?
No, that's the name of the site, thatbrewerygame.com.
What?
Yeah, check it out, man.
If you've ever brewed beer in your dreams or wish you could mash in right from your desk at work, you can. Kind of. With That Brewery Game, you can brew up a great batch of beer from anywhere, virtually. Then you can sell it, because in That Brewery Game, it's legal to sell your beer to the public, create recipes, brew virtually, upgrade your equipment, upload labels, and test market your brand at thatbrewerygame.com.
You still slinging pissed off birds into buildings from your phone? Forget that. Try making beer.
Sweet.
Register right now for your free account at thatbrewerygame.com. Brew. Drink. Play. ThatBreweryGame.com.
In a world where everything has been lost.
What happened to the city? It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. No, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol. Come with me if you want the beer. Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water. And
from the creators of Northern Brewer, the people who brought you $7.99 Brew Saver shipping, massive selection, and superior customer service comes...
A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer. When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeasts, White Labs is proud to announce WLP-90, San Diego Super Yeast, now available year-round. WLP-90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters, and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
the beer guys that make other beer guys look like wine guys. Brew strong.
All right, we're back. A couple more questions. Enjoying this breezy Sunday afternoon. Monday afternoon.
Monday.
Yeah. Monday afternoon.
Is it Monday? I think it's Tuesday.
Monday.
Sure?
Yeah.
Man, it'll be glad when we move spaces so we don't have to hear these awful cars running by. The windows are closed. I don't know what that's about. Does it break the fourth wall when I talk about that stuff?
Yes. It breaks the fart wall when you talk about that.
Shit. All
right.
I have a kind of a long one. This is from Mike.
I've heard that before.
From Mike?
That he has a long one?
But I'm fine. Go on.
Okay. Sorry. I thought you were going to say something.
No, I missed it.
This is called Cold Break Carboy Transfer Question. Hey guys, just started listening to the Brew Strong. I'm a huge fan of the session, but I'm loving the next level of nerdiness you have to offer. I've heard various podcasts about whirlpooling, then transferring to a carboy. First of all, I use immersion chillers and don't have a pump. I use a 10-gallon Blickman kettle and usually do extract and partial mashes. Yesterday, I brewed the archaic recipe from the Paxton Stroyso. It calls for a decoction step mash, so this is my first tip. The mash was pretty successful. I used a grain bag and nearly got all the temps right. My problem is when I chill and transfer. I used to put the immersion chiller in the kettle and stir continually while it cools to speed up the process. Then I was reminded on Brew Strong how I should keep the lid on the kettle and let the chiller do its work. I stopped the flame, stirred for 20 minutes with the chiller in the kettle, put the lid on, turned the hose on, and waited. It took probably 20 minutes. Then I transferred. It completely clogged my little tube filter attachment that came with the Blickman kettle after 5 seconds of liquid flowing. So I ended up having to wash my arm, sanitize it, and blah, 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 blah. He got kind of all kinds of hot and cold break. Is that bad? He can't seem to do a brew that doesn't have all that crap coming through. How should he whirlpool?
Well, chill with the immersion chiller. You can stir while you're chilling gently, and that will speed the chilling. Once it's chilled, then take the whirlpool chiller out, or the immersion chiller out, stir it up, get a vortex going, and let that vortex settle over 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Then you should have a better cone of break material in the center of the kettle, and you should be able to draw off slowly to begin with to the chiller without clogging. Jamil?
Sure. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Great. He goes on to say that he put a 3-liter starter in the warp.
Goes on to say, Jesus Christ, what happened to your one question per email rule?
If I don't, then the other two questions are follow-up questions from other emails, so it's like six of one, half dozen the other at this point. He used the yeast calculator and stir plate, and it kicks a major ass. Last night, he woke up to find his blow-off container, which is pretty big, overflowing everywhere. Am I losing a ton of yeast when the blow-off tube is shooting out foam and gunk like that? Will that loss mess up my attenuation? Thanks. Sorry that this is a long story. I'm hoping Justin gives me shit for that. No, you only got me. Sorry, dude. Hire an editor.
You're losing yeast. As you can tell, when you clean up that mess, there's going to be a ton of yeast there. But it generally will not hurt attenuation unless you are completely skimming continuously off the top.
I agree.
We need a signal.
Throw a peanut at him.
You want one more or that's it? You guys tell me.
I'll take it.
Any more in the chat?
Nope, no more in the chat.
Lazy bastards in the chat.
That's it.
One more then.
Okay, to use hot bags or not to use hot bags. I found that using hot bags seems to give me less IBUs. This may be a perception, not a reality, but it just seems I do not get the same hop oil extraction when using a bag. However, the benefits of using a bag outweighs the extra hops. Also, I can go to a paint store and buy nylon, blah, 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 blah. Okay, look, should he use hot bags or not? That's his giant paragraph.
Well, I think he answered it for himself.
Yeah,
you'll get lower utilization, but if
it's convenient,
and it outweighs the negative of having to use more hops, then no big deal. Go for it.
Oh, I do notice he also says, I can go to a paint store and buy nylon paint straining bags compared to what appears to be the same product from a homebrew shop for 10 times the price. I'm all for supporting my local homebrew store, but come on, it's not the same thing, dude. Those paint bags are not food grade material. They might feel the same. They might feel the same, but they're not the same at all. At least speaking, when I brought in the bags that Morebeer currently uses, we got all sorts of food testing done on them, and I guarantee you, paint bag manufacturers do not do that. So you can use those fly by night Ace Hardware bags, but at least the ones you get from homebrew shops at least have been tested food grade. So there you go, dude.
Yeah, I didn't like to use bags.
I'll do it if I have anything over 6 ounces. I'll do it, but for the most part, doesn't matter to me. And honestly, I don't really notice a difference either. So it's just if I feel like walking across the garage to get the bag or not.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of work.
Yeah,
tremendous amount of effort involved.
Well, yeah, I'm lazy. What do you want?
All right. Well, another fine show, just like we promised it would be.
Yeah.
So excellent and such high quality. We knew
that's us. We are high quality.
I feel like you're just in the mood to record a new Heretic spot right now.
I am. I'm ready to go to sleep.
Thanks for drinking Heretic beer, boys. Really,
I'll record it for you.
Oh, yeah. Palmy would be good at it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what we're looking for. Yeah.
Rock candy.
Greetings, Heretics.
This is rock candy coming to you live from wherever I am right now.
Hello, freaks.
Hello, freaks. Drink some Heretic beer. Actually, that might be pretty good.
That'd all right. Be great.
Yeah, all right. We'll have to do that.
I'm John Palmer, and I know what's good. I wrote a book.
True. I mean, truth in advertising. It's always a good thing.
There you go. All righty. Cool. Well, I at least had fun. I don't know about the rest of you. But
I did.
All right. Well, and if you had fun and you like this sort of thing, check out the Brewing Network store, because anything you purchase there directly goes to the bottom line of the Brewing Network and really helps out. Also, check out our great sponsors, BlickmanEngineering.com. They innovate your homebrew.
Yes, they do. We should stop using that until he gives me royalties for it.
Well, he's
talk to him about that for me, would
paying you?
You
all the royalties for...
Is he?
For how much it's worth. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Never underestimate a good marketing slogan, dude.
Right. So check that out. Let Blickman know that you enjoy sponsorship and check out all the other great things in the store. Like I said, it helps keep the Brew Network on the air. Till then, brew strong.
Brew strong, everybody.